From Paul's house and Storm's house, it's Paul and Storm talk about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes, on average.
Dr. Jonas Salk, risen from the grave, here to claim the souls that he once saved.
So much to do, so much to see. I'm Paul.
I'm Storm.
And we're going to talk about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes.
On average, this afternoon, it is Tuesday, April 30th, 2012.
It's Monday.
It is? Awesome.
It's totally like Monday.
Oh, whole extra day to
do stuff. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Tuesdays.
Oh, mopey guy on Tuesday. Tuesday was always my least favorite day.
Yeah, Tuesday sucks.
People complain about Mondays, and you know Garfield's like, "Oh, Monday, I need lasagna."
But and everybody whines about Wednesdays too. But
I don't understand that either. See, maybe it was just when we were in school. That it was like, okay, Monday, you still got a little bit of the weekend left in you, and nothing really happened on Monday, I recall. But Tuesday, it was like you still had the bulk of the week ahead, and the work hit, you know? That's when the shit hit the composition book. And when the shit hits the composition book, the shit gets going. All the inspiration you need to get past Tuesday. But it's not Tuesday, it's Monday. So thanks for pointing that out.
Yeah. In any case, this is show 127.
Yeah. We're back on the horse after
a
hiatus.
Yeah. There's totally secret things we can now talk about. It's been a while. Were we able to talk about the secret thing last time we did the podcast?
I'm not even sure which secret thing you're talking, the big secret thing?
The Learning Town.
Yeah, learning.
No, I guess we did talk about it last time. Now that I look on the website and I see that the icon for show 126 was the Learning Town icon, I suppose maybe we did talk about it last time.
Well, we can come back to that. Certainly, we continue to progress on it. But there's new secret stuff we can't tell them involving the podcast. But we'll just drop that there. But let's get right to the stuff. What do you say? Oh, Paul's computer just halted and crashed and went kabamo, and he's talking.
No, we're totally recording again, and
we're
I'm
recording
back.
Again. Hey, welcome back. I wonder, dear listener, does that annoy you when that happens, or does it make it more real? Are we so real that you're like, yeah, there's software crashes just like mine, except for you people who have Macs as we do, and you say, well, my computer doesn't crash because it's a Mac, and you're lying because sometimes I do. But hey, do you want us to cut that stuff out, or do we keep it real? That's what.
Well, you could tell us if you want us to. We're not going to.
No. I want to know. Like, I believe in collecting knowledge for its own sake and applying it when applicable. But
are you a sophist?
Is that what a sophist is?
Not really. I just felt like saying the word sophist.
Sophistry?
Actually, I don't know if you know what. And in my own mind, I was confusing it with a solipsist, which is also a different thing, which is also not the same thing as collecting knowledge for its own sake.
I'm gonna go ahead and take a chance. I'm putting all my chips on sophist.
Okay, there's a front runner for the title.
All right,
let's
spin the wheel. I'm going to Google right now.
I'm
going to Google. I hope it's not something like equivalent to pedophile.
No, I'm looking it up. Oh, come on, Wikipedia! Really, you're going to be this slow?
Okay, I guess it's not
Wikipedia; it's my computer. But anyway,
sophism,
it is not. It,
or yeah. or sophism. It doesn't give a definition. Yes. Is a specious argument used for deceiving someone. So I would say, I'm a sophist and a sophist. Yeah. So I'm going out on a limb here, but someone like Sarah Palin, you could say, is a sophist, saying specious things that appeal to many
people. Ooh, getting all political and stuff.
I know. I can say...
Technically, a sophist was a type of teacher, as I read the further down the paragraph on the Wikipedia. It was a teacher who specialized in using the tools of philosophy and rhetoric for the purpose of teaching however the hell you pronounce that, excellence or virtue.
Oh, okay.
Predominantly to young statesmen and nobility.
Okay, like Sarah Palin, just like that.
Yes.
I'm going to go ahead and say that I too am a sophist.
Okay. Whether or not what you were doing was sophism, you too are a sophist.
I am. I want that badge on my little Boy Scout sash.
Mm-hmm.
Sophists. I wonder what the symbol would be. I don't know enough about sophism to sophistry to even know what it would look like.
I do know that your Boy Scout sash is actually just a sash made out of the skin of Boy Scouts.
It is. I have a grudge against the Boy Scouts, and I've been exacting my revenge.
Never get your the badges that you needed in time. You know what? I actually do have a bit of. I don't carry a grudge, but I had a grudge against the Boy Scouts. More to the point, the Cub Scouts.
Yep.
When I was a Cub Scout and I blew my way through all of the various achievements. I guess they weren't actually badges at that point. They were just achievements to get my Bobcat. And my wolf and my bear patches,
yep.
Which is what you would have to go through in order to move up the ranks to become a Weeblo.
Oh, Weeblo, that's where it's at.
And it turned out, that's also just got to be the most unfortunate name ever given to a child organization.
Oh, yeah. Well, I've always thought of it as, hey, Weeblo, you above, Weeblo.
But I blew my way through all of that, and I was all set to become a Weeblo, and it turned out I was too young to become a Weeblo, and so I quit Cub Scouts.
So you were,
screw this, I'm not sitting around for a year.
So you were like
on my thumb.
They need to have like a Mensa Scout, you know?
They do. They need AP Scouts.
Should have just joined Memphis. You should join Memphis.
I should join.
Why don't you move to Memphis, Paul? Be a sophist in Memphis.
What in the hell is going on today?
We're off the horse, man. We're totally off the horse.
Did you not eat your morning bran flakes?
I didn't. I had granola. I also had a grudge against the Cub Scouts.
By the way.
Yeah, yeah.
What was your grudge? Because they would not allow Jews.
You laugh, but that's kind of what happened.
No way. Did you have a restricted Boy Scout organization in your neighborhood?
Well, I was in it for a year. And it was all groovy and stuff. And the next year, when I went with my dad to register, they said, sorry, but you're not on the list, and didn't understand why. And they gave us some reason. And my dad got really annoyed. I was really annoyed and disappointed. So we just sort of, were like, well, fuck it, fuck that. And just sort of in thinking back, I remembered, I've always been, the nerdiness, geekiness is from being an outsider in a lot of ways, mostly just being a weird kid. And I remember never feeling entirely at home with my pack. And it's the type of thing where, it's not there is a central organization, but it comes down to the individual who is running the pack.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
And I remember there was a unit about religion where... It was in the book, and this is just from memory, that you were supposed to, in the spirit of understanding one another's customs, to sit together and talk about your religion.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember that the leader of the pack, decided that that it was probably better that just all of the kids of different Christian denominations talk together, and I was excluded, and I ended up just...
Well, now, when you say you were excluded, were you just not allowed to speak, or did they actually physically exclude you from the circle of discussion?
Yeah, I was asked to sit somewhere else.
Are you shitting me?
I am not shitting you. Now, I do not take this as a general indictment of the organization.
No.
Although... you know.
Did you not rise up like the Jewish Cub Scout Rosa Parks and defiantly sit in the Christian circle?
I was not so righteous. In hindsight, most of the other kids were dillweeds and maybe it's sour grapes, but I didn't need a bunch of fucking plastic beads. Now, having said that, my uncle, who is entirely Jewish, was an Eagle Scout, you know, so I don't feel like there's anything there. I think it was the particular circumstances. I do not know that there was a connection between sort of me being different in certain ways. Could be just that I was a weird kid. But anyway, that sort of jumps out, and that's why I have the Boy Scout pelt. That's why I have it.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, didn't expect to go there today.
Yeah, so there's that. Wow.
Well, let me.
I think we really talked out some good issues here today. I think we're getting our therapy money's worth.
Yeah, I'm feeling good about it. Thanks, people, for listening. And if you are a Boy Scout or an Eagle Scout or a Cub Scout or whatever, hey, you know, it's cool. All right. So on the Twitter list, there were a few things there as we put out the call.
Yep.
Actually, while we're asking questions, if you are a Facebook person, do you hate it when we say the Twitter this or Twitter that? Because we can just as easily put the word out on the Facebooks, just that we don't have as many followers there.
Also, we don't like Facebook very much.
No, bleh.
It's not a slight against the people who use it by any stretch. We don't mean to say that you're a bad person when you use Facebook. It's just that Facebook is bad and you should feel bad.
Yeah, that's all we're trying to say. It's just that simple. But Eddie C. suggested, have you ever thought about talking about music? Now, it may have been facetious because we do talk about music now and then. But I feel like... yeah, you know, it is good to talk about music a lot, and maybe more than we usually do. Now, we've gobbled up 20 minutes talking about Boy Scouts and almost politics and things like that.
Right.
But I do have a few little topics about music.
Okay.
And it's sort of theoretical here, but I was thinking about, like, standards, songs they call standards.
Right.
And these were, the torch songs, the song. And I was asking, why is that a standard? Why do they call it a standard? And it's basically just a really melodic song that isn't associated necessarily with any particular work or artist. It's just a song that was written that is very pleasant to sing and listen to.
Right.
And that. It seems like, and it also has the idea that it's from another era, and that I can't think of many songs in the past few decades even that have risen to that status of standard, because most songs that are of that style become associated with an individual artist.
Right.
So I have a theory about...
Uh-oh, Storm has a theory, ladies and gentlemen. Smoke 'em if you got 'em.
I have a theory about standards.
I have a theory about brontosauruses.
About brontosauruses. They had
I'm
wings.
Sorry. I'm sorry. I'm poking gentle fun, but you go ahead.
No. I like the gentle fun.
I am intrigued to hear your theory on standards.
And not only about standards and why they are standards and why they don't come about anymore, but also why artists like Rod Stewart and Huzi Wachee tend to put together albums of standards.
Oh, Huzi Wachee's album.
Oh, they have the best standards album, like later in their career. And also, for that matter, instrumentalists like Kenny G. All right. So music today, and I'm talking like the past few decades, is it was about radio and Billboard and all that. For top 40, and I'm talking about popular music. Mm-hmm. And today it's much more diversified, but it's still the way it's consumed is a lot individually. You're listening on your iPod, maybe you're listening on the radio.
Right. It's like a one-to-one relationship.
Yeah. And that production.
Like, you generally don't listen to music. Most people, most of the time, don't listen to music in a group setting. It's either, as you say, on an iPod or sitting at home on the radio. Like, people don't gather around the radio like they used to.
They don't. So that's a big factor. And that production values, like how it's recorded and what it sounds like, is a huge part of the song. It's like so many songs, particularly pop songs, it's very hard to separate like the basic song, the melody, the words from its production. Like it, if it didn't have that booga da booga sound behind it, or that high-pitched siren, you know. And I'm not speaking for all artists. There are certainly artists that are just singer-songwriters who just them and their guitar. But then, too, that's important. Like, they're not necessarily written to be portable. Whereas in the past, like if you go way back to the beginning of the 20th century, the idea that there wasn't any electronic means of propagating songs, that the way songs propagated were they would probably be in a show of some sort, either a vaudeville revue or later Broadway, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And that before radio, sheet music was how they were transmitted.
I was going to say, as a matter of fact, the lion's share of income for songwriters for a very long time until the advent of radio came through. It was all about sheet music, like big sheet music.
Yeah.
Was like the big oil of the music industry of its day.
And it's completely forgotten now because pretty much any household of moderate means had a piano.
Yeah. There was no television and there was no radio. And what people did would be to gather in their parlor and sit around and sing songs together, or Mama or Ernestine would play etudes and whatnot.
So the songs that succeeded would be the ones that would, just by virtue of its melody and words alone with the chord structure, it would be easy for people to grasp, and that it would be transmitted. You know, that was a viral hit, something that could replicate that way. And even once radio hit, and even the early days of television, like for Broadway shows, it would be important, because if that melody stuck with you, you could sing it, and you're at work or at home or wherever with your buddies at the bar.
You're toiling in the textile mill.
Right. Like
as
everyone
the 9-year old that you are.
Everyone did. Entire families, the entire city of Pittsburgh. Before the steel industry, everyone worked in one gigantic textile mill.
Yeah, actually, Pittsburgh for the longest time was one large building. Like all of Pittsburgh was indoors until 1902, I think it was.
It was. Fort Pitt was originally constructed in order to enclose the natural formation. It's incredible. It was limestone, and it was in the shape of what turned out to be the perfect orientation for a textile mill.
Yeah, and actually, interestingly, it used to be, for the longest time, there were only two rivers flowing into Pittsburgh.
That's right.
And the third river was just urine generated by an entire city's worth of people working in one building, relieving themselves over the course of a day.
Correct. Which, after it flowed downstream to the next town, which was called Potato Chipsburg, that does not exist anymore, was formed into the first potatoes. They would dry the urine, and it would form potatoes, and that's
correct.
That's how you got potatoes. Anyway, we are so way off topic at this point.
Were we supposed to be talking about music?
Music. So these songs needed to be transmittable just on the melody alone, whether it was through the sheet music or word of mouth, and that once you no longer had to have that, where okay, now you have the recording, and now you can do fancy things with it. A song didn't have to be the absolute best melody it could. So that's my theory as in all of that, pull it together, why the standards are from another era. And also, to bring it all the way, I believe that pop stars, as they age, your vocal range, it compresses, right? Most people, you lose something off the top. You can't hit the high notes anymore. And that part of what would make a song transmit that way without being able to hear it again and again and playing it on your iPod would be that you can sing it. So standards, typically, they're easy to sing. They have a narrow range. There might be a few notes that pop up, and certainly not all songs would just have a 3-note range. But that's why I believe that standards are so popular with older artists, in that they're beautiful, first of all. They're melodies that catch your brain, that sync up with whatever's happening in your brain in the music pan.
Yes, we've had this discussion on a previous podcast.
Yep.
And another theory of yours.
I have no shortage of theories. And, yep, so it's something that that you can always sing. That you can always sing. So that is the theory of standards.
Unless you have no mouth.
Even the no mouth people, there was one block on back in old Broadway that catered to those people.
Oh, yeah, the mouthless district, right.
Yep, because they were the people. They were the people who made their living by licking the bark off of trees.
That was actually it was in Philadelphia because that's where the mummers originally came from.
Yes, and mummer meaning...
Because mum was the word because they couldn't talk.
Right.
And so instead they would just dance around on New Year's Eve in fancy costumes to try and distract people from their hideous faceless, mouthless faces.
Correct. So deformed from their life in the bark trade.
Apropos of nothing.
Yeah.
I forgot to mention on the previous podcast, we had a lengthy discussion of blow drying oneself post shower and when and in what state of dress.
Yeah. Yeah. We
and
did.
I would like to say that through the poll that we put up, I am totally vindicated.
Oh, God. Yeah.
The short version for anyone who didn't hear last week was my wife and kids both think it's weird that when I get out of the shower, I will immediately blow dry my hair and remainder of my body while naked. The idea being as you become let's just put it this way, as you become an older male person.
Yep.
And I don't mean person who delivers mail, but person of the male gender.
Yeah.
Certainly not all of us, but many of us will get a bit hairier.
A little bit.
And as such, it is not as easy to towel off all of the moisture from our bodies immediately and quickly. And so I figure rather than, you know, struggle and wipe and contort myself to try and use a towel to completely dry myself off, I just do as thorough a job as I can. And then I just use the hair dryer to finish the job.
Sure, sure. Not to say that some of you ladies may also be hairy.
Yes, but a full 70, almost 75% of you said that it was not weird. Actually, technically, if you combine the answers, 88% of you thought that it was not weird.
Yeah.
So I feel fully vindicated, and I'm going to shove it in my collective family's face when they get home later today.
I think you've earned the right to march around the house naked for a week.
Yeah. Just with a big bass drum.
Yeah, you have to march. Cymbal.
Yeah, just like wearing like a one-man band outfit.
Yeah.
That doesn't really cover any of the important parts. That's key, because then I wouldn't be naked anymore. But, you know, just like a drum on my back and maybe a trombone.
The drum, well, to make sure it's understood that you are naked, the drum should have, you know, the drum head cover should be an image of you naked.
So yes, totally. Yeah. Yeah, that goes without saying.
Yeah. I feel pretty good about where we've gone with this podcast. I think,
sure.
Are you not entertained?
Are you not entertained? Let's see. Do we have any? I thought I had a Paul and Storm recommends.
Oh, well, I do, but we both do, I think, but the book isn't out yet, so
oh, yes.
We can't recommend it yet.
Some of our semi-famous person privileges, we've both been reading an advanced copy we got of a book by a friend of ours, but we're going to wait until it comes out around closer to July or so to give it a proper recommendation, because it's kind of useless right now and would only serve for us to brag about how we got to read this book before everybody else did.
I gotta tell you, of all of the perks that we have garnered up to this point and the modest amount of fame that we have accumulated, mm-hmm. I think that is my favorite one.
It is pretty goddamn sweet.
Just getting to read really cool shit that I really love, like,
yep,
ahead of time. Just saying.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Oh, and just in case you're wondering, it is not the next George R.R. Martin book.
No.
But besides the fact that it is not yet written, even if it were, we do not qualify on that level yet of free shit.
Not yet. Not yet.
Yet.
Maybe with our next video, maybe. But
maybe.
Yeah, so otherwise, what we doing?
Where are we going to be?
Where are we going
to
be?
Well, we are going to be, he said, waiting for the internet to pull up our schedule. In June, Over the next month or two, we don't really have much going on.
Except we are working very hard.
Yeah, we're working very hard to write a web musical behind the scenes, so it is not like we are inactive. Plus, we have other songs, just plain old Paul and Storm songs on the hopper in various states of finishedness.
We do.
So we hope to roll some of those out as well. But on June 23rd, we're going to be in Nerdtacular 2012.
Oh, man.
In South Jordan, Utah, outside of Salt Lake City.
Yeah.
That's going to be very much fun. We've been hoping to get to that for a number of years.
Super excited about that.
Very excited about that. Of course, we have Woodstock 4.0 happening in San Diego during Comic-Con. That's on July 12th at the Balboa Theater San Diego.
And we are starting to put together the puzzle.
Yes.
Just starting to.
If half of the ideas that we have for this thing actually come to fruition, it is going to be the epicest Woodstock yet. We are going to be at HalCon. I might as well mention this again these days in Halifax, Nova Scotia. That's not until Halloween weekend, practically, October 26, 27, 28, but that's official.
Oh, I can't
wait for that.
To be there, too.
That's going to be very fun. We are working on a number of shows, both over the summer and in the fall, actual performances in places where people live.
This would be the appropriate time to say, hey, come to my town, because we're planning to do a little bit of that.
Yes, totally. And that's all that's on the calendar currently. And of course, the impending, eventual web series on the Geek and Sundry channel on YouTube. That of course being Learning Town. Tell your friends.
Yes. And Geek and Sundry in general. Wow. It has just done the awesome.
I'm very much
enjoying the shows.
Yes.
Having seen them ahead of time, I knew I would, but not having seen all the particular episodes. So
yeah.
So
having a particularly good time enjoying watching, Will Wheaton's tabletop show, which is a blast. We actually will appear on one. I'm not sure when it airs.
Yep.
But we are guests on that. But even barring that, in our predisposition to like it because it's our buddy Will, it's just a really good, fun show. Sort of combines tabletop gaming and Celebrity Poker Showdown and all of that fun stuff.
I had no expectations or no conception of what the Flog would be. That's Felicia's video log. Mm-hmm. And I'm enjoying that immensely.
Yes.
I mean, one, because it's Felicia, but also just, it's almost a diary of geekness, but not in a sort of, I'm a geek and here's the things I'm doing. No, it's just sort of very enjoyable, to see her go on adventures and talk about geeky stuff.
Yep, totally. So there's that, I guess. Yeah.
And, we are going to be out in LA in May and might do something maybe, but
we're going to see if we can, put something together for that one way or another. No promises, but we will try.
Otherwise it was great talking at you and
yeah.
And we're so glad that you listen. And that's just swell. And I think we all deserve hugs and pretzels.
Someone's podcasting, Lord.
Kumbaya. See, a standard. That's a standard.
That's right. Would you call Kumbaya a standard?
No, I wouldn't call Kumbaya
a
standard.
That would be more of a spiritual.
It's become a camp song.
I suppose.
But it's the same. The theory of standards, I think, works the same as the theory of camp songs because they rely on the same things for transmission.
Yeah, but camp songs just involve more like, you know,
poop
and boogers and
yep.
and people blowing up and things.
And making out.
Don't forget to join the Brigade of Minions.
Yes, do join the Brigade of Million.
Brigade of Millions. One day it shall be that.
Yeah, join the Millions Brigade for the millions of podcast listeners to us, because I'm Storm.
And I'm Paul.
And we've been talking about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes.
On average. Now where's my damn pills?
Go do things.